Chapter 73. Jesse wished Molly had taken the bottle and watered the other half-dead plants or dumped it down the drain. Molly was long gone, but he was still in his office, listening to Johnny Walker singing his muted siren song from the bottom desk drawer. It wasn't so much about Dee and Vic anymore, but about boredom and frustration. Alcoholics have an endless stream of reasons, rationales, and excuses for their thirsts. The funny thing is that they make the excuses to themselves, whether anyone else cares or is there to listen. Jesse was no different. Connor Cavanaugh had been there for 3 hours, left clicking, going over hundreds and hundreds of mugshots without any luck. He and Jesse had shared a large pepperoni and sausage pizza for dinner, though Jesse preferred mushroom and green pepper. He figured he owed it to Cavanaugh to let the hotel security man pick the toppings. For the first 2 hours, he had gone out to check on Cavanaugh every 15 minutes. He stopped when he noticed that it served only to frustrate the both of them. Jesse wasn't an action junkie like a lot of other cops, but quiet times in a crisis could be rough. He considered going home, then thought better of it. Even on good nights, he had a rough time getting to sleep. No, it was best to stay at work. He had run out of straightening to do, had paced the floor, had pounded the ball into his glove, had cleaned his .38 and his rarely used 9mm, had read and reread the files and forensic reports on Martina Penworth and Ben Salter, had found himself staring at the crime scene photos of Martina Penworth. She had been a very pretty girl, on the verge of beauty. The photograph had captured that in spite of the damage the bullets had done. It also captured something else. The dead are different. As a homicide detective and his chief, Jesse had lived much of his life among the dead. But it wasn't until Abby Taylor had been murdered that the nature of that difference coalesced for him. Jesse remembered standing over Abby's lifeless body and noting how still she was. There was more to it than her stillness. He had slept with her less than an hour before she'd been murdered, yet the body before him was no more Abby Taylor than the car on which her leg was caught. Something was missing. Jesse didn't know if people had souls. In fact, he could swear that many of the people he'd encountered as a cop, such as the couple who had murdered Abby as a kick, were pretty much soulless. But after standing over Abby's body that night, he thought he understood the genesis of souls. He only regretted that it had taken Abby's death for him to see it. He preferred lessons learned at his own expense. He closed the files. He was pacing again when he caught sight of a plastic evidence bag on top of a file cabinet. It took a second for Jesse to make sense of it. Gabe Weathers' personal effects from the Helton PD. With all that had been going on, he'd forgotten to give it to Gabe's wife. Gabe. Jesse hadn't given much thought to Gabe in the last few days. He supposed that was a hangover from his ball-playing days. He didn't think about injured teammates. It was a matter of reality, not cruelty. It was about the task at hand. If you could help the team, great. If you couldn't help the team, regardless of the reason, you were forgotten. And as a ball-player or a cop, it didn't serve you well to think about getting injured. To do both jobs, you needed to be focused. Distraction of any kind was a bad thing. To be distracted by fear of injury was the worst kind of distraction. Jesse picked up the bag and looked at it. Wallet, badge, 9mm, clip removed, clip, ammo removed, ammo, pen, notepad, spare change, small binoculars, camera. He carried the bag out front to the desk. It was late, but not too late to have Pete deliver Gabe's things to his family. Pretty quiet night. What's up, Jesse? Call Pete in. I want him to run this stuff over to Gabe's wife. Ed, the cop working the front desk, gave Jesse an odd look. What? Jesse said. She's probably not home. Remember, she's been staying... Right, right. We put her up across from the medical center. Forget it. I'll run it over to her tomorrow. I should go see Gabe. Jesse nodded at Cavanaugh. How's he doing?
He's doing okay, I guess, Ed said.
Talk about some needle in a haystack shit. That's it. If he fades or barks about it, let me know. Sure thing, Jesse. Back at his desk, Jesse sat with Gabe's things in his lap. He realized that he didn't want to give Gabe's things to his wife in an evidence bag, so he removed the items one at a time and laid them out on his desk. For some reason, his eyes kept drifting toward the camera. He hadn't instructed Weathers to photograph Salter's activities, but Gabe was a thorough cop with big city experience. That's why Jesse had chosen him instead of the younger candidates. To the annoyance of his fellow Paradise PD colleagues, Gabe took the initiative without being prodded. Jesse picked up the little cannon, pressed the on-off switch, and flipped it around so the viewing screen faced him. As he fumbled with the buttons, trying to figure out how to display the photos in the camera's memory, he hoped like hell Gabe wasn't the kind of guy who took nude shots of his wife, or worse. "Here goes nothing," Jesse said to himself. When a photo of Bert's All-Star Grill, Salter's black Navigator parked out front, appeared on the screen, Jesse breathed a sigh of relief. When he scrolled a few photos ahead and saw a white Nissan Sentra, he burst out of his office. "Eddie, wake Molly up and send Pete over to get her." "What is it, Jesse?" "Just do it." Before Ed could call Peter Perkins, Peter called into the station on the radio.
"Unit 3, Unit 3, calling dispatch. Over."
"Unit 3, this is dispatch. What's up, Pete?" Ed said.
"Over." "Jesse still there?"
Jesse Stone grabbed the mic.
"This is Jesse. What's up, Pete?"
"It's been a little trouble at the scupper."
"What kind and how little?"
"Bar fight. Couple of punches thrown, then a roll around on the floor," Pete said. "The usual thing."
"You need me for this? Why?"
"One of the parties involved says he's a lawyer. Driver's license identifies him as Monty Bernstein. Claims he's a close personal acquaintance of yours." "That's an exact quote, Jesse. Figured I should give you a heads up before I dragged his ass down there."
"Good thinking. Keep him there. I'm coming over. I wanted to have a talk with him anyway.
When I get there, I want you to pick Molly Crane up at her house and bring her down to the station. I'll explain when I get there."
"Okay, Jesse. Roger that. Over."
"Over and out."
Jesse turned to Ed. "Get Molly up. There's a camera on my desk. Tell her I want every one of the photos blown up and parsed like a sentence in Catholic school. She'll understand."